Hi, I'm Mark Boris. Every single day in Australia, people are busting their guts and starting and running their own businesses. It's a big deal. 60% of Australians are hired by small to medium-sized business owners. These guys are doing their bit, buying stock, hiring people, and paying their taxes. So what is it like to start your own business? How do you go from just running a business on the side after work to owning something much bigger? How do you make it your future? Join me on The Mentor, a weekly show on Podcast One where I speak to Aussie business owners who are working through just that. I find out what makes them tick, I help them work out their next steps for their growth and for their future.
The Mentor with Mark Burris. Listen now at podcastone.com.au or download the Podcast One app.
Get Ruin Dits for Breakfast, weekdays from 6, or subscribe to Ruin Dits for Breakfast catch-up at triplem.com.au.
Oh, yes, indeed. Roo, I've got to say, a very good morning to you. But last night, sitting outside, I was with Alice the Wag and my beautiful wife, and I thought, you know, sitting in shorts and thongs, having dinner, looking out over the water, but it does, it makes you feel different, doesn't it?
You just need a tattoo now, Dits, and you'll be right at home up here. Come on, mate.
Yeah.
A tattoo.
I'm a coward.
You need to learn how to spear and do a few things like get out and you'll be right at home if you move up here.
Well, action man.
Action man,
yeah. Hey, coming up today, Roo, I've received a text message from a friend of ours who we had on the show months ago, a lady called Janet, who works for a recruiting agency.
Yep.
She was the lady that came on and said, I've got 60 jobs that I cannot fill.
I do remember
that. It's getting worse.
What do you mean?
Position is worsening. She's got jobs coming out of her proverbial.
Why can't she fill them?
All sorts of reasons, but we'll try and get her on again because this text message is really alarming. In a state where we've got people crying out for work.
We've got the worst unemployment in Australia.
Well, something's not right with the whole system.
Where's she advertising?
Don't know. Well, get her on. She can advertise right here on Triple M.
We'll talk about that at 7:10. That's interesting. Got the Angels coming up later on. Gleeso. We'll have another Suburban song later on. And we've got some Mick Malloy will join us as well.
And, Roo, I'm going to put it to the Angels later on this morning. This ridiculous thing that came out yesterday about the golf tour, the PGA telling the girls not to dress provocatively when they're playing golf.
Oh, I'm sure they'll be all over it, the
outrageous.
Ladies.
Outrageous. It's Ruin Dits here on Triple M.
Ruin Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
6:11 on this Thursday morning. Ruin Dits on Triple M. What's making news, Roo?
Well, Mick Fanning, he's not having much luck at the moment. I mean, he's back in the water surfing again after his scare a while ago with the big shark that he had to punch in the face and poke in the eye. He had another shark come over to, where are they, Jay Bay in South Africa. Another 3-metre white pointer. Him and his opponent had to get pulled out of the water.
So lightning strikes twice.
Struck twice. At least they saw this one, which is great news for him. He didn't have to fight it off this time.
See, this is what thwarted my surfing career.
Yep.
Yeah, otherwise I would have been very good at it.
That and a total lack of talent. Cut that short.
Can't swim and got no balance.
Stiff for Mick Fanning in the same place. Oh, they're scary.
You wouldn't go back there again, surely.
See, you know, they had a four-metre white pointer under the jetty over at Streaky Bay last week in the main jetty. Dead shark, dead white pointer about 4 metres on the beach the other day over
there. Washed up, Don't know what happened there. Or do you know what happened? Did a friend of yours get to it?
No, I wouldn't know what happened, but a bit convenient that there ended up being a shark of the same size dead.
Oh, really?
Maybe the locals don't like a white pointer swimming where their kids swim.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Fair enough. Hey, Roo, all week we've been talking about Paddy Dangerfield.
Yeah.
Now, he's in Adelaide. He's arrived early.
He's come early.
You've got the inside goss on this. Why is Paddy Dangerfield in Adelaide so early?
Well, maybe he's acclimatising coming back.
No. We've got to the bottom of this. We know the reason.
No, well, he's in town to... he's had a business lunch at his pub, the Alma, planned for a long time, speaking today, getting interviewed there by Tom Wren from Channel 9.
Right.
Rennie
will stand on a crate.
Rennie will be on a milk crate, as he does with Treaders every Thursday night out in the suburbs. But that's why he's in town early for. There's nothing to be read into that, whether he's going to play or not going to play.
Right.
Even though Chris Scott, he said he's probably a 40% chance of playing now. Mm. That come out yesterday in the news.
So will he need help getting into the armour? Will he be carried in or...?
You've got some crutches there. Yeah. He said to get some crutches ready.
Righto.
But he is in town early. Don't know whether he's going to play or not, but he is speaking there today. So that's why he's in Adelaide.
What else is making news, right?
There's a bit of an argument going on down at the Torrens Ditts, down at Elder Park, down at the... For a big barge that was put down there for the Adelaide Festival. Massive barge, which they had a... What was the show called at the festival down on the big barge?
Don't know.
No, sorry. The Cabaret. They had a big... Cabaret Festival. They had a big barge down there that they used for their show, and it's just been sitting there. They planned to have it sitting there for... 3 years, Dits, doing nothing. People are complaining about being an eyesore. Some people are saying it should be moved where you can't see it so that you don't see it every day. Other people are saying, well, just get it out. Use a crane in there and get it out the way you put it in. Well, people are saying it'd absolutely wreck the Torrens if they do that. So they've got a big meeting down at the Adelaide City Council tonight to sort out what they're going to do with it.
Well, not only move it, do something with it. Why not plan other events or something?
Yeah, well, it just seems ridiculous that you have a big concrete barge sitting right in the middle of the best part of the Torrens where people see and go to all the time. So there's a few people having a bit of an issue about that in Adelaide at the moment.
That's what's making news at 6:15. Now, in a moment, we're going to head down to Henley Beach, Roo. There's a lady who's taken a wrong turn, apparently.
What do you mean a wrong
turn? She's driven down onto the beach, and I think she might be stuck or her car is submerged.
She had a four-wheel drive.
Pardon?
Is she in a four-wheel drive?
Let's hope. I hope she's in a submarine because she's caught. She's caught in the outlet of the Torrens down there. We'll cross to Channel 7's Gertie Taylor in just a moment. Ruined Dits here on Triple M.
Ruined Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
6:22. Ruined Dits here on Triple M. Roo, for people waking up at Henley Beach this morning or going for a walk, they're going to see a car bogged out in the water,
and not a four-wheel drive, not a car that you'd think you'd see on the beach going for a drive. Drive along the beach. This is a little white Kia.
How did this happen? Let's go to Channel 7's Gertie Taylor, who's down there right now. Gertie, what has gone wrong?
Good morning, guys. Well, this poor elderly woman, she was driving around last night about 10 o'clock when she took a very wrong turn and ended up on West Beach. She drove several hundred metres across the sand until she got bogged near the Torrens outlet. So it's just a small Kia Sportage, a little SUV, and it didn't stand a chance in soft sand. It's currently still bogged here. The water's lapping up to the tyres. We're expecting a tow truck around 7 when the tide is at its lowest point today.
Did she park between the flags or not? Parking safely?
Not quite, I don't think. I think she's definitely underestimated what happened. But the poor lady, she was in the car with her dog. A passerby noticed that she'd got herself into a bit of strife. They took her up to the local sailing club nearby. A neighbour came and collected the dog. She was treated by paramedics and then taken to hospital. We believe she's okay. She wasn't hurt, but she just went there for a bit of a checkup. Can't say the same about her car, though.
No.
That's not looking very good.
Next car will have a sat-nav, apparently, Ruth. She'll sort that out.
So the car sat-nav is still four-wheel drive.
Yeah. So the car is still sitting there, is it, Gertie?
Yep, it's still here. It's still bogged. It's a very unusual sight for morning joggers and walkers out here at West Beach this morning. And it's not going anywhere, that's for sure.
Right. So
very firmly bogged.
How do they plan to get it out, do you know?
Well, we're not sure yet, but last we heard that, you know, a tow truck could be here first thing this morning around 7. That's when low tide is, so we'll see how we go. But it's quite firm, the sand, where we're standing now. So it's literally where the Torrens outlet comes out and meets the sea. So it's smack bang in the middle of that. So,
right. Is it easy for her to get down to where she got to, or did she have to actually go off a bit of an embankment?
Well, we're not quite sure how she managed to get down here. I think she might have gone down the boat ramp near the West Beach Surf Club down there, and she's probably driven down and then tried to turn around, and maybe that's when she's got bogged.
Any idea how old she is?
No, we don't have an age for her yet or where she's from, but we believe she lives locally if the neighbour came and picked up the dog.
Yeah. So. All right. Yeah. Thanks so much, Gertie. An unfortunate incident down there at Henley Beach. I need to establish her age. Her name's not Kate Dittmar. I just need to check that.
She's in Darwin, thank God.
Yeah, you're right, actually, yeah. Hey, Roo, that lady did a dumb thing. We've got dumb comments coming up, one of our favourite segs where the wag features prominently. I don't know if she does today, but we'll find out in just a moment.
My wife's debuting today.
Is she in today?
She's getting in, yep.
Dumb comments.
Yep.
Look forward
Darwin's
to it.
Got her.
The next billion seconds are the most important in human history as technology transforms the way we live and work. The smartphone, barely a decade old, has given billions access to information and capacities they've never had before. It's changing what we can do, and it's changing the shape of the future. So what does that future look like? Hi, I'm Mark Pesce, the host of The Next Billion Seconds, a new show on Podcast One. Join me as I speak to some of the brightest minds shaping that world, the people who are spending their lives forming that future. We'll hear about their work in helping shape those next billion seconds. Listen at podcastone.com.au or on the Podcast One app.
Triple M. 104.7 Adelaide's Triple M, Roo. Every Monday and Thursday, love talking to this fella. I look forward to it. Mick Molloy.
Hello, boys. How are you?
Hello, Mickey. Yeah, we're still in Darwin, mate. We're still flying around here shooting crocodiles and everything that moves.
Action, man.
What is wrong with you two? You're up there. You're like a crocodile hunter, aren't you? Just getting around.
Yeah, we are.
Mick Dundee.
Guys, I've got to ask you. I know you're both big fans of Doctor Who. Have you taken the news on the chin that Doctor Who is now a chick?
What?
Don't know about this.
13 Doctor Who's. This is the first one who's actually a woman, and it's caused a massive grief, a wave of grief in nerdy circles. And I just wondered if both of you guys are okay with it.
No, we don't move in nerdy circles, mate. You know that.
Well, I just wonder. I worry about what the female Doctor Who is bringing to the table. I mean, you know, for the first time ever, we might need a doctor who needs directions when travelling through time. As Doctor Who, I know she's travelling through time, but I reckon for the first time ever, she'll always be running late.
Yes.
Hey, how long, guys, before the TARDIS has got a few dings in it, do you reckon? I'm just saying, lucky you don't have to reverse park that thing, because it will. I bet she's got my family stickers on the back, you know, the little stickers. People realise it's a phone booth, don't they? I mean, you're going to struggle to get her off it. I mean, you know what we're like. What's she going to do, the Daleks? Give them the silent treatment?
I mean,
but maybe she should travel back in time to a time when her wedding dress still fitted. What? I've gone too far.
Come on.
They've gone too far. I mean, what's next? A female James Bond? My name is Bond, Mrs. Bond. Who wants that? And Mrs. T? A Jake and the Fat Chick? I mean, when do you stop? When is enough enough? 2.5 chicks? Who's going to watch that?
Two chicks.
A few good hotties? I mean, it's just not the same. It's not the same, lads. Anyway, when are you coming back? What are you doing up there? You got any plans to come back?
We're coming back tomorrow, Mick. We're getting back. We've got a big game in Adelaide Friday night.
Did I hear Dixie are playing? What is it?
Yes. He's the 11-year-old Australian champion.
He wasn't up to taking on a 12-year-old.
What's his name?
Aryan Madami, he's called. So
he's an Indian Australian.
Okay, I played a guy called Andre who was under 12, so he's over in New Zealand. He just won some massive title.
Yeah, but hang on. Your kid was Victorian champion. I've gone Australian champion.
Well, you know, mine was under 12. Yours was under 11. and you were once the best squash player on the planet. So, I mean, fair's fair.
How did you go in your game, Mick? Did you run him round?
Well, I didn't get time because it was all over in a minute. Actually, if you check out the video, it lasts a minute. In my defence, it was 1st to 7, so... Yeah. Anyway, there it is. Hey, guys, don't forget the front bar tonight.
Yes.
Am I right? Is it on at 8:30 in Adelaide?
It is. We're finally going on at 8:30
now. This is fantastic. Cannot wait. We've got Juddy and Cooter on tonight.
Juddy and Cooter?
Please tell me
you guys got any questions for either of those guys?
Your weekly segment on Roo, is that his commentary? Yeah. Is that getting a run this week or not?
Oh, we've got very nervous. Sam Pang's back in town.
Pang!
You know what he's thinking of doing? He doesn't want to play in the EJ Whitten this year because he reckons something bad will happen. Are you still coaching Roo?
Yeah, I'll be coaching, mate. I'll be coming over. I'll go and door knock him. I'll go and drag him out. Like you used to drag blokes out of the front bar in the country to fill the B grade. I'll do it with him from home. You're playing, Pang.
I'll let
You're
him
in
know.
The forward pocket, Pang.
All right, so the front bar tonight, 8:30 on 7. Hey, Chris Judd's gone. He's on fire on Triple M. Gee, stuff's good, isn't it?
He's going berserk. He's a genuinely funny bloke. I want to talk to him about a couple of things, including his family holiday recently.
Apparently,
on an aircraft, he got vomited on, spewed on, and diarrhea
on.
Yeah, that's right. And, and it wasn't an end-of-season trip.
It wasn't from his wife, either.
Get on you, Mick.
All right, guys.
Sam McGee.
Mick Molloy.
Triple M. That might be the dumbest thing you've ever said.
Dumb comments on Ruined Dits.
Oh, it's become a favourite segment of ours, Roo, over the last couple of years.
Yes, always. We're never too far away from a dumb comment with the people we hang around or even just us.
Yeah, plenty of fodder.
Even our wives from time to time.
Yeah.
We rocked up in Darwin about 8 days ago now, and we're staying in apartments so that, you know, you can cook some food for the kids and make it a bit easy and you don't have to eat out all the time. And went and did the shopping, and we thought we'd cook, have a barbie near the pool, and I was getting the veggies ready, and I said to Sarah, is there a potato peeler here? I just want to have some mashed potato and some carrots and bits and pieces. She said, yeah, but I tried to use it before, and it wasn't working. I said, oh, where is it? And I had a look at it, and I said, oh, it doesn't look like there's anything wrong to me. She said, what? I tried to use it and I couldn't get it done. Maybe, I think it's a left-handed potato peeler.
Left-handed? Left-handed potato peeler.
She's gone with a left-handed. I said, are you sure you think it's a left-handed? I said, should I go down to Coles and ask for a right-handed potato peeler then just to make sure he can do it?
Yeah.
And then she's realised that she's put her foot in it and that it was a really, really dumb comment. So haven't seen too many left-handed, right-handed potato peelers out there.
No, it's like the young kid on the work site, isn't it? Go and get me a left-handed screwdriver.
Screwdriver.
Hey, the Ricciuto family is featuring prominently this week.
What's happening?
I was listening to you call a game of footy just the other day. Have a listen to this.
Playing group, Jake Stringer stands at the 50. It's on its way, it's a score, but it's only a minor.
Yeah, they got 40 seconds to go coast to coast. That was the worst result by far for them.
Well, they're ahead. That's the positive.
Yes, that is the positive.
Right. They need desperately to win this game.
Right. So they've just hit the front.
Shall I set the scene there?
What were they thinking?
They're all tied up.
What were they thinking trying to hit the front?
Why would you want to be in front for? They were all tied up with a minute to go. Good. Yeah. Well done on that one, Dits. Jake Stringer had a shot for goal from the boundary line, 50 metres out, put it through for a point. He actually did hit the front and actually did win the game for the Western Bulldogs.
And what did they win by?
1 point.
Right.
That kick that I said was the worst possible result of all time actually put them in front. Of course, I was worried about them going coast to coast and kicking a goal, but got a bit ahead of myself there.
Right.
So well done to Chris Dittmar and Anthony Hudson for sending that in to Triple M to stitch me up.
So Mr. and Mrs. Roo this week featured very prominently on the dumb comments.
The heat's got to us.
Give us a ring, 1-3-3-5-3 if you've got a dumb comment. We have got tickets to tomorrow night's game. How big is this? Geelong the Adelaide Oval. Danger and Geelong taking on the Adelaide Crows tomorrow night. Give us a ring now, 1-3-3-5-3 with your dumb comments.
104.7 Triple M.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
We're talking dumb comments, Roo. Let's relive some of the great dumb comments we've had over the journey.
One day the missus has asked me, where are the driverless cars going with nobody in them?
My job is to fill the wife's car with petrol, and as per usual she said, oh, the petrol light's on, love. Car's chugging away. I thought, oh, we're not going to make it. She said, quick, love, turn the radio off. That'll save petrol.
Yeah, my missus said to me, it's because we live on a hill. So we need less solar panels because we're closer to the sun.
Oh, yeah, you're heaps closer.
I was watching the ER with my wife, and she said to me, why do they call it ER?
An ex-girlfriend of mine, we were down at the Marion Footy Club having a bit of a punt on the TAB where she...
came out with a good one is the harness racing there just for disabled.
The trots for disabled jockeys.
An ex-partner reading the classifieds one morning, and she says to me, "What's a chihuahua?"
I like that. A chihuahua.
We do have some good listeners, don't we?
Beautiful. Let's
hey, Rube, sorry, just on... I'm going into bat, I think, for Sarah. I've just had a think about the potato peeler. What? See, I'm a left-hander, and I can never use scissors. I reckon, and I think I'm right, if any left-handers can help me with this, scissors are for right-handed people, definitely. I can be trying to cut through something, and I can't do it, so then I hand them to Kate, and she
what
just cuts straight through.
What do you mean you can't cut through them?
Scissors for left-handed people are really awkward. I'm serious. The blades are around the wrong way or something. I'm not joking.
The blades are around the wrong way.
I'm serious. They don't work for left-handed people.
Right.
I don't know if anyone can help me there and back that up.
All you left-handers out there, ring in and help Ditz. Let's go to Christie's Beach. G'day, Michael.
Hey, boys.
Dumb comment for us.
Yeah, no, actually, you've actually got a dumb comment, Ree. You probably need to apologise to your wife. There is such thing as left-handed potato peelers.
Seriously?
So, come on.
Yes.
What do you mean?
If you Google it, you can get left-handed potato peelers. There's a shop in England that's totally for left-handers, us Molly Dukas.
Right.
And as far as...
Can you get a left-handed screwdriver at the same time?
I'm not sure about that. But as far as Fitz was going on about with scissors, I used to work for Spotlight, and you can actually get left-handed scissors.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, the blades are on the other angle. Yeah.
There you go.
Same with left-handed tin snips. Yeah.
So, Michael, why don't you go away pretty quickly? Let's go to Highbury. G'day, Blake. How are you this morning?
Yeah, good, thanks. So last year when we had those blackouts, my missus come home from work and she's fussing to go to loo. And she comes home and goes, "Oh, there's obviously no power." And she goes, "Oh, does that mean the toilets don't work?"
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, what did you say? Go and try it out. Let's go to Modbury. G'day, Roger.
Yeah, good morning all. How you going?
Got a dumb comment for us, Rog?
Yeah, just a few, quite a few years ago, I was sitting down watching the V8 racing on TV, and my partner at the time came in and sort of sat down and started watching. After a few minutes, I said, "Oh, that's really nice to see." I said, "Well, what's that?" She goes, "Well, it's good to see that motor racing really involved with women's needs." I said, "Well, what are you talking about?" She goes, that one there, the red and white car, this is the one that says HRT. I said, "That's really good that they can do that." I said, "What are you talking about?" She goes, "HRT, hormone replacement therapy." I said, "No, that's Holden Racing Team, darling."
She's a winner.
Let's go to Happy Valley. G'day, Jeff.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Got a good dung comment for us?
I have, yes. I was sitting at the smoko table with a former work colleague, and he's got a $2 coin in his hand, and he's looking at one side and looks over at the other side and does it several times, and then he jiggles it in his hand like he's feeling the weight of it, and he looks at me with a look of eureka in his face and says, "I wonder how much the gold would be worth in a $2 coin."
What, he thought it was real gold?
Yeah, he thought he could melt it down and get money out of it.
And get 500 for it. Well, what was he doing for a job, that bloke?
Cranes.
Cranes, all right. Mm,
stick to cranes.
Yep, let's go to Dernan Court. G'day, Melissa.
Hello.
You got a dumb comment, Melissa?
Yeah, hi guys. Hope you're having fun up there. Just wanted to let you know, for a couple of years, we'd always go down to Amy Stadium to watch the Crows play. You know the electronic advertising that goes around the boundary?
Yes, LED.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. I could never work out what it spelled, like what it meant, because I was reading it as Milo Cal VIP. And right. So I said to my girls, "What does Milo Cal VIP mean?" After ages, you know, for years watching it. And they just looked at me and said, "Mum, it's my local VIP."
No. VIP. How did you feel when that happened?
Oh, no. My God. I nearly died. Honest to God. But I've been reading it. I've been reading it for ages. Milo Calvert. Who the hell is Milo Calvert?
Good on you, Melissa.
Well done.
Well done.
Girls, kids love it when mum comes up with something too,
don't
they?
Yeah.
They love sorting that out.
Hey, we better give tickets to Man That Exposed Me, Dits. With the potato peeler. There is such a thing as a left-handed potato peeler.
Yeah.
I'm a bit shocked by that.
Was that Michael?
Surely when you... Why do you need it? Because don't you peel it towards you, and if it doesn't work, you go away from you. That's what I've always done.
Discrimination, Roo. Why should I have to... Hang on, discrimination. Why should I, as a left-hander, have to push it away? I want to do it the same way you do it.
Yeah, well, okay. Okay, yeah, good point, Ditz. We shouldn't have a go at left-handers. What else do you find on the left-handed site?
Scissors. Yeah, you can get scissors for lefties. There were knives, can openers. That's the other one.
Left-handed knives.
I struggle with can openers as well. So you can get left-handed can openers. This is serious. What?
What else? Barbie tongs, left-handed?
No, didn't find those.
Pens?
No, didn't find pens. Yeah. This is the other thing. What about how hard do you think it's been as a left-hander, honestly, all my life? When you're in grade one and two, you get
squash
bashed.
Racket.
You get bashed. Yeah, left-handed squash rackets. Some people tell me I should have tried right-handed the way I played.
Mm-hmm.
When you do your handwriting in grade one and two and the teachers bash you because you're writing funny and, oh, mate, we go through hell.
You've had a tough life.
I know. That's why I've turned out the way I have, Roo. That's why I'm so angry.
Ruined Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. We are in the top end. We're in Darwin. And, of course, every day, Roo, we talk about Crocs because they're everywhere up here.
Oh, they're everywhere up here, all right, Dits. And we've been down in the croc cage. We've done that. I went to do some jumping crocodiles the other day and absolutely fantastic experience. But Alice, you went and did it as well, and you met Damien the Wild Man Duffy.
I did. I drove down to the Adelaide River, or up to the Adelaide River yesterday. I'm not sure what direction
down.
I went.
Down.
Down.
Yeah.
And we went on this jumping croc tour, and our tour guide was this guy called Damien, and he's literally a cross between Steve Irwin and Croc Dundee. Like, he's got a tattoo of a crocodile skull on him.
Beautiful.
And so I was like, got to get your number. You have to chat to Ruined It.
All right. Well, we've got him on the line, the Wild Man. Good morning.
Yeah, g'day, how you going?
Yeah, good. Whereabouts are you based?
Adelaide River, mate, in Northern Territory, yeah.
All right. Now, if we come on your tour, the Jumping Crocs Tour, what can we expect to see?
Oh, well, as the name would suggest, jumping crocodiles, mate.
Right. Okay. That wasn't the best question I've ever asked.
The Wild Man's got a sense of humour.
I've got a rocket on the
fire. No, hey, don't worry. You don't have to be too smart to talk to us, Wild Man. Tell us about how scary it is on your tour.
On the tour, mate, by some of the smaller vessels, like the one Alice is on, you've got to keep your arms and legs inside because the boat's pretty bloody low to the water. And if you stick your head outside the boat, it's the quickest way to lose your memory.
Hey, I went on a tour the other day and they said if you wear colour red or orange, you attract crocodiles. Is that right?
They got pretty good vision, mate, much better than ours, and they're attracted to bright colours. They're definitely attracted to bright colours. So if you wear a bright red T-shirt, you... lower your chances of survival in the river from 1% down to about -4.
what have you got red hair? How am I going to get on?
If you're a blood nut, stay off the water, mate.
Hey, what about all the life jackets that are on the boat were bloody red?
Yeah, that's why we tell you not to put one on.
Well, what happens if the boat goes over?
So the life jacket's out one side, you chuck a few kids, women and children first, you know, you chuck them with the life jackets. And get all the boys to swim out nice and quiet the other side.
My bloke said if you fall in and you beat the crocodiles, the bull sharks will get you anyway.
Yeah, we've got 3 species of bull shark in here, mate. But yeah, the best thing is to not get wet. If you fall out of the boat, walk on water, mate. That's it.
Yeah, as quick as you can. Hey, I've read an interesting fact somewhere. Saltwater crocs are more likely to be found in freshwater. Is that true or is that a myth?
No, 100% true, mate. Saltwater crocodiles, bit of a misleading name, eh? Because 70-odd% of salties are found in freshwater. They won't see saltwater in their entire lives. Better nesting habitat for the females in freshwater wetland environments. And obviously the boys, they're doing what most of the boys do in nature, chasing the girls.
Hey, over the last few days, we've gone out with our families and swum in some of those waterfalls. We went to Florence.
And
we went, Litchfield National Park. Now, were we safe in there? Would there be crocodiles in there?
Depends which waterfall and what time of year, mate, but... your best bet is to go talk to a tour guide and they'll let you know the safe places to swim. They don't muck about, you know. Asking a local can sometimes end up with you getting unstuck. But because they don't like the tourists coming up here, so they tell you to go swimming with crocodiles. Basically, if you want to swim somewhere, there's tiles around the outside and you'll be no damage.
Swim around tiles.
Hey, wild man, what if you happen to get bitten by a crocodile? And by the way, have you been bitten by a crocodile?
Yeah, I've been bitten by a crocodile once before. A bit over 2 metres, bit me on the shoulder, jumped over the railing of a boat. But I can tell you, boys, some women are worse, mate.
Some of the women are worse. Hey,
I don't bloody let go.
If you, how do you fight off a crocodile if you do get bitten?
Oh, there's a bit of a theory, mate. Some people reckon punching you in the nose or poking in the eyes. You haven't got buckles if you do that. But the best suggestion I've heard, you reach in the back of the throat, there's a valve there, and you reef open the palatal valve, and crocodiles start to fill with water because they'll have you on the bottom trying to drown you. And then they fill with water, swim to the surface, have a bit of a spew, spit you out, and you can swim to the bank and save yourself. But yeah, good
luck. You have to do a course for that?
Yeah, you can only do the course once. If you fail, no good. But, to be honest, mate, if you get dragged under by a 4 metre crocodile, just enjoy the moment, yeah?
Yeah, because it's going to be the last one.
Fair enough. We saw how sharp the teeth are, how big the teeth are. So when it grabbed you on the back of the shoulder, I mean, did it make massive puncture marks in you, or how did you end up?
I'll be honest with you, mate. I wish it was a bit of a cooler story in regards to the injury, but she just had a bit of a snap over the railing, and I was moving away from her at the time. So she kind of just grabbed on. A few puncture wounds and lacerations. Oh, yeah, there, get off your mongrel and she flew back into the water, no brainers.
Mate, we've enjoyed talking to you. If anyone's on their way up to NT, you've got to go and meet the wild man, Damien Duffy. Go out to the jumping crocodile tour. And once again, just to refresh my memory, what do they do on that tour?
Jump crocodile.
Good on you, well done, mate.
Yeah, good on you, mate. Yeah, have a good one. Cheers for ringing.
There he is, Damien Duffy, the wild man.
Yeah, he's on the spectacular jumping crocodile cruise.
Rockin' the suburbs. Triple M Suburban Songs.
White Jeeps keep on rolling. Burnside.
With Dave Gleason from the Screaming Jets. Suburban Taxis. Rockin' whatever suburb you need to get to. 131-008.
From good times to home time, Suburban Taxis, 131-008. Gleeso, how are you?
I'm really good, and I'm just glad that, Suburban Taxis, they don't do the price gouging like the new mob on the block do.
Yeah.
I caught one the other day. I thought, every time I get in a taxi, I pay the same rate.
That's right.
You get an Uber, this ain't the same way, ladies and gentlemen.
We're busy, multiply it by two.
Yeah, that's right.
That's how it works.
Wouldn't that be good if you owned a pub like you do and you just say, oh, there's plenty of people in here now, double price.
That's price.
Sweet.
We actually do that.
Great business, man. Anything started. let's refresh our memories. Last week we went down south to Ranella.
Eating wings, chomping away to those juicy thighs.
Ranella, Nella, Nella, KFC, KFC, just down Pimpala Road. KFC, KFC, it's the curls of both.
You and Livy.
Yeah, we hit it off. You can tell.
Beautiful. All right. This one, I'm looking forward to this one today. Tell us where we're going.
Well, we're going to Gawler.
Buff Lehman territory.
Territory. That's the greatest thing about Gawler. Surely he's the captain of the day.
Buff and the Main Street. I think there's still 10 pubs in the Main Street.
Oh, there's heaps of pubs.
Unbelievable. Wasn't his old man a copper or something?
Yep.
It would have been good back in the day. Buff's old man is a copper.
Sure, you play cricket?
Yeah.
All right.
Go and have a bat.
Now, what tune is it?
L-O-L-A Lola. The old the Kinks classic, Ray Davies.
Oh, yeah. Right, here we go. Perfect. With Gleeson on the Screaming Jets.
There is a little town not far away. Just head out north on the expressway. Well, it's Gawler. Gawler.
Beautiful.
South Gawler Lions can really play football, and you can't keep a secret at the Whispering Wall in Gawler. G-g-g-g-Gawler. G-g-g-g-Gawler. Down at Pioneer Park on a Friday night, where we roll past Macca's and we get real high in Gawler. G-g-g-g-Gawler. If you wanna know where Buff Lehman was born, it's not Mono Power and it's not in Corn. Well, it's Gawler.
G-G-Gola. G-G-G-G-Gola.
Yeah, catchy. And I'm glad you pointed that. That confused me for
Gola
years as a kid.
Or Gula?
Gula, yeah. Or Gula. Yeah, I don't even know the difference.
Well, I'm a transplant.
Mm. Yeah.
You can tell I've been here for over 10 years because I would have said transplant otherwise.
Yeah, that's right.
But I am a transplant and now I know the difference between Gula and Gula.
Yeah, well done.
It's been said a few times in South Australia, that one.
Well done, Gliso.
That was a ripper.
No worries.
Back next Thursday with another Suburban song, Gliso from the Screaming Jets. Good times to home time, Suburban Taxis, 131 008.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
7-Eleven Ruined Dits for breakfast here on Triple M. Roo, we spoke to Janet, a lady we met. She came into the studio a few months ago. And anyway, she started telling us about she works at a recruitment agency and had 60 jobs that they couldn't fill. Like, people just not applying for them. We're talking mainly diesel mechanics and those types of jobs.
Yeah.
Specialised skills.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Anyway, a day or two back, she texted me again and said, it's just getting worse. So we've got her on the line now. Janet, good morning.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thanks. Good, Janet, do you want to say who you work for? Is that okay or
yeah,
not?
Yeah, that's fine. It's RecruitCo.
RecruitCo, okay. Mm. What's the latest situation? Just expand on the text message you sent me a couple of days ago.
Yeah, just a follow-up. Obviously, the day I came on, we had, you know, a few people ring up, a few resumes sent, but obviously we weren't able to fulfil that commitment. But since then, we've also got continuing roles, in other areas. So anything from boilermakers, not all skilled. We have order pickers, for example. We have general labourers, anything. And the frustrations we have as recruiters, we are sifting through, as I said to you, numerous, literally hundreds of resumes through a week. Mm. And there's only a small percentage that apply that are actually suitable for a particular role. And overall, there's probably about 15% that are suitable for any role. And there's a combination of factors involved with that.
If there's 15% suitable, doesn't that mean you can fill them?
Not necessarily, because there's a process you have to go through. So there are, in some instances, there's pre-employment screening, which includes drug and alcohol.
So what, they're failing them, are they? Or?
Well, we try to screen that and filter that out before we get to a pre-employment stage. But unfortunately, we're dealing with humans, so not everybody's forthcoming. Obviously, if they're operating machinery, we can't put them where they could be at risk to themselves or somebody else.
Yep.
There are people that have no idea what they're applying for because they are just meeting obligations, and that's, you know, when you're on the phone going,
man. Yeah. What do you mean by that?
Yeah. Well, if we ring up and we say, okay, you've applied for a general hand. Which one is that? They haven't read what's involved for the role.
Right.
So how can you apply for something when you don't know what you've applied for?
So are they just trying to tick the boxes to get to the dial?
And that's not, unfortunately there is a small majority of people that will do that. And then there are people that generally are looking for work, but for whatever reason, we can't place them. And that could be lack of skills, it could be they haven't worked for a length of time, or they have some major issues. We're governed by what our clients want from us, and obviously what, you know, we have to do.
What are some of the best jobs you got up for grabs now that you can't believe you can fill, that you just think, gee, we should be able to fill this job easy?
Boilermakers, HR drivers and MR drivers.
What are HR drivers? What do you mean there?
Heavy rigid. So your larger trucks, yes.
Mm. Okay.
And what was the other driver, sorry?
Medium rigid, so that's an MR.
Yeah, righto. So, and aren't you still chasing diesel mechanics, is that right?
Oh, not so much. That sort of gone on the wayside at the moment. But we're always looking at anybody with skills that we can actually, obviously, filter out to our clients and market them out to the workplace.
All right, Janet, thank you. Thanks for joining us again. It's Recruit Crow that she works for, but there are many, many recruiting agencies out there in the same boat. Roo, I can't believe this now. I've just looked at the figures. So Australia's unemployment is at the lowest it's been for a long time.
Australia,
5.5. However, in South Australia, we lead this unfortunate stat with 7.3% unemployed.
Yeah, and even a lot higher, Ditch, if you look down at the younger end of the market too, sort of late teenagers, early 20s and stuff like that, it's much higher.
Now, you were telling me a story about a lady you know that comes into the pub.
Yeah, I had a lady who comes into the Alma quite regularly, and she was just saying to me, in her business, she's about to have to forego a contract, which is worth a reasonable amount of money to her. She's prepared to pay someone around $80,000 detailing cars and cleaning up cars and bits and pieces.
$80,000
Yes, and cannot fill a role out there.
You've got to be kidding.
It's I couldn't believe it. I mean, this is unskilled. It's you're still got to be good at your job, and you got to work hard, and there's still a lot of things you got to do right. But you don't have to go through TAFE for 4 years, or be an apprentice for 4 years. And she can't fill it. She cannot get a person to do the job, which is just unbelievable.
I find that amazing. There must be others out there as well. I'd love to hear from some employers right now. 133353. Those incredible jobs, those positions that you've got right now, and yet you just can't find these young people to come and fill the roles.
Yep, and then if people are listening out there that think they can fulfil the roles, well, then hopefully you can give them a call.
Yeah, but if you're an employer out there now and you are frustrated at not being able to find the workforce to do these jobs, we'd love to hear from you. 133353, Roo and Ditts here on Triple M.
Roo and Ditts for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Oh, employers out there, we just heard from a recruiting lady, Janet from Recruit Co., who says she just can't fill jobs. Yeah. Is that what's happening out there? Who have you got on the line there, Roo?
At the moment, doesn't look like we've got anyone on the line, does
sorry.
It?
We can't get anyone to answer our phones either. We need a phone person. There you go. No, I thought we did. Sorry,
we've got
we had one now. Oh,
there we
have.
Go.
There we go.
Graham from Dover Gardens. G'day, Graham.
G'day, mateys. How are you? Nice and warm up there, are you?
It's beautiful, mate.
Yep,
beautiful.
33 today.
Tell us about your business.
Look, I'm a gardener, a landscaper gardener. Basically do anything. I don't find it hard getting a lackey to come and help me if I need one for the day.
Yeah.
The problem here is a lot of these workforces, it's all right to say these skilled jobs, but speaking to a lot of the young kids, there's no training programs anymore. They've cut them all out. Now, they're predicting by 2025, there's going to be 40% less jobs through technology.
Right.
I don't know if you ever watched that program on Beyond 2020.
No, where's that show on?
It was on a two-part series on TV, going back a bit.
Okay.
But the problem is, there's no training out there for them.
So where's the cutbacks come from?
I don't really know. I've spoken to a bloke that runs the workforce. They don't do any more training courses anymore. They're not allowed to do it because they haven't got the funding.
But Graham, wouldn't a young lad working with you learn on the job, like each day?
Oh yeah, exactly. Sometimes I can't afford to pay a bloke weekly, and all that sort of stuff. But I do get a bloke every now and again to come in and help me, and I train him. And it's good to train these people because, I can use them later on, or they can go out and maybe get their own stuff going.
Yep.
The problem is in the workforce itself, and it's a government issue that they've cut all. Unless you're an illegal immigrant, you'll get that training courses.
Righto. Thanks, buddy. Let's go to Seaford. G'day, Corey.
Yeah, g'day, lads. How you going?
Good, thanks, Corey. What would you like to say?
I was ringing up. I'm actually a car detailer myself, and I just heard you talking about that lady that's looking for someone to fill an $80,000 contract, and I thought, I'll jump on it.
All right, Corey, I will follow that up and see where she's at with that. It was about a week ago, but I'll follow it up, and hopefully you might be able to help out.
We don't take much, do we, Roo?
No, I only take 10 cents. Corey?
Yeah. I could come and clean your cars as well for you.
Yeah, 10 for Ditts.
Nah, good luck with that. Hey, let's hope that you can get that sorted, Corey. That'd be great.
We'll find out, and hopefully we can make something happen for you.
Yeah, no worries. And on that other stuff that you're talking about as well, like I used to be going through the recruitment agencies a few years ago until I bought my own business. And they make you jump through that many hoops to get a job. Like, for example, like I had a mortgage and all this sort of stuff. And then it's just like, you've got to jump through so many hoops to try and get a job. And it's just like the employers are way too picky.
Well, I suppose like that other,
well, like that other bloke said, it's just like there's no training. And it's like, how are you supposed to fill a position if you're not willing to give somebody a crack?
Yeah. Yes.
No, good point.
Well, that's what we need to know out here too.
But I suppose when you say jump through hoops, they've got to know, Roo, that the person is absolutely reliable and you're not going to let people down.
Of course they do.
Yeah.
But if they're not training people to be skilled enough to take them too, it's a bit of an issue. But anyway, let's hope we can have helped Corey at least there.
Yeah.
104.7 Triple M. The hard-hitting topics. The big issues.
Well, not really. But we are going deep inside the female psyche.
Ruin Dits Angels.
Good morning, Angels.
Good morning, Ruin Dits.
Oh, well done. We've got Catherine married to the richest man in Australia, who I think's up here, Ru, at the moment. At the,
is he?
They had Ladies Day at the races yesterday.
No,
Catherine,
he left.
Is he up here?
No, he's back working. It's in Port Augusta.
Is he? Okay. We've got Batesy back by popular demand, our new recruit. Hello, Batesy.
Hello, guys.
How's Big?
Big's fine, still big.
Good, righto. And Alice the Wag.
Good morning.
Who's up here with us. Hey, girls, now, a controversial one to start with. Well, I think it's controversial. I'm reading online this morning, Chris Hemsworth, famous actor, says that Charlize Theron should play James Bond, a female James Bond. What do we think about this, Catherine?
Well, you know, I mean, that would end up being a bit like another Wonder Woman, wouldn't it? Having her...
Jane Bond.
You know, I just think James Bond is so famous, such an icon, so popular. Why would you change it? But happy for her to be a Bond girl. I think she'd look amazing.
A Bond girl, Ditch, but that's different.
Ditch is keen to see, I mean, he goes around bedding girls throughout the movies. Would she go around...
Bedding men.
Bedding men.
Yes. Would that be frowned upon? Would that be acceptable in this day and age of equality?
No. Damn straight.
Yeah. Oh, righto, Batesy. So you think it's all right?
I'm all about it. Like, let's just take their shirts off. Let's see them strut around. Like, I'm all about that. But I don't think we need to have a female James Bond. But if anyone could do it, it could be her. She's a hottie.
Mm. Okay. Mm. All right, Alice the Wag.
Well, when a girl goes around sleeping with a lot of guys, she gets really bad names. But when a guy does it, he becomes a legend. That's why life's unfair a bit.
Right.
But I think she'd make a really good James Bond, like, to have a girl, because girls are so good at multitasking that she'd be able to, like, do everything probably better than James Bond. But I don't think there should be a girl James Bond. But I've actually heard a rumour that it's actually going to be a guy who is African-American playing James Bond.
Oh, okay. That's different.
If Daniel Craig doesn't do it.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Moving on to the next one. Girls, this came out yesterday. This is the ladies' golf tour. Now, they are, without speaking... So hopefully not sounding sexist, Ru, but there are some very, very nice-looking golfers.
Yep.
Some very attractive ladies out there that play golf.
Yep.
And what they're saying is they want them to stop wearing short skirts and plunging necklines. So the good-looking girls out there, stop looking so hot, so sexy, and just dress down a little bit.
Why?
Well, I don't know. But and some of these girls have hit back and said, well, we don't think it's right that you big girls wear loose-fitting clothes and don't tuck them in. And
so is it girls v. girls, or is girls it the administrator over the top?
The girls are, you know, the administrator's putting this in place, but they're arguing. So, Batesy, first up to you, what is wrong with looking hot on the golf course?
I don't think there's anything wrong with looking hot. I think if they've got a bit of cleave out, that maybe they probably do need to rein it in a little bit.
And why is that?
I think golfing demographic is a little bit older. So I think maybe it's a little bit more conservative.
Well, don't you want to attract younger people, though?
Maybe that's its problem. It is too old.
I had to ask Alice what PGA meant. I didn't even know. So I don't think
parental guidance.
Parental guidance advice. So I just don't think it appeals to... you know, the 20s demographic. I think you got to be what you are, and it's, you know, that older demo when they want to be a bit more conservative.
But that's going back to, and this is before your time, Batesy, but if you spoke to your mum or your grandma, they'll tell you, oh, when we went to school, our skirts had to touch the ground when we knelt down and things like this. These are archaic rules. They really are.
They are, but I also think, you know, is there any reason to be having your boobs out while you're playing? You're getting paid the same amount. Like, don't worry about it.
All right. Catherine?
Yeah, I think I agree. Keep with the tradition. You know, it's like the tennis. It just looks fantastic, you know, with the rules that, you know, that what they have to wear. Remember, I think it was the other day that the young guys had to change their underwear because the grey was showing through.
Yeah.
And I just think,
I heard
tradition.
You pick that up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I just think, you know, tradition with the golf, girls look fabulous, you know, in anything. So, you know, if the rule is to wear, they do. Those golfers, the golfers you're talking about look amazing. So I think, you know, why do they have to wear, you know, a mini skirt? You look fantastic in some, you know, long pants.
I could style them.
Dits, it's a bit old-fashioned to think you have to show something to look hot.
Right. Right.
We need to change your line of thinking.
Okay, Alice the Wag.
If they want to look hot, they should just let them look hot.
There you go.
I don't think it's
not too out there, though.
Not too out there, but I don't think they are being too out there anyway. It's like the
You watch golf, do you?
No. But when it's on the TV, I can't get Dits' attention, so I think he likes it. But
for different reasons.
I just, they're never going to be crazy like playing in a bikini. They're still quite conservative. Like,
you're talking about they're wearing that shot where the girl had a V-neck and as she bent over, you could see a bit of a cleavage. So they're just saying, just bring up the neckline, which is fine. So, Dits, why are you disappointed about that?
But what's wrong with having a bit of cleavage?
Hang on. So if you went out to dinner tonight, would you get told by the restaurant? Oh, excuse me. There's a bit of cleavage there.
No, but my husband would. He'd go, that doesn't look very nice.
So what's the difference?
There is no, I don't think, if you can wear it at a workplace, like the sales girls sometimes have some low tops on, then why not wear it on the why not wear it on a golf
like
course?
Like Batesy and Catherine,
sales girls. Yeah, they've got their cleavage out.
Yeah.
Got to get the big deal across the line.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a real hole in one.
That's right, yeah. And usually there's some wine involved and whatever. And, yeah.
But do you think if they wrote a newspaper article, it would be called PG on the PGA.
Oh, yeah, right. Oh. Let's wind it up on that point.
That was so good.
Thanks, Angels.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See you, Angels.
Bye.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M with Ruined Dits, but we are up in Darwin. However, we get home, tomorrow afternoon, Ru?
Yeah, we get home tomorrow for the big clash at Adelaide Oval. Crows taking on Geelong. But I want to rewind the clock to yesterday, Dits, when you were going on about Patrick Dangerfield and how soft he was. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, you know, how long have you... since you've played a decent game of squash, and how are you moving around these days after you played squash for all those years all over the world against all the best players? And
probably
you said it's the most demanding game in the world.
It is tough.
If you still played now, could you beat a decent kid?
Yeah. Come on. What? You're talking a 12-year-old. That's insulting.
I might put you to a challenge in our next break.
That's insulting.
That's not insulting.
That's an insult. A 12-year-old kid. Come on.
Now, I found out a little bit of information about you.
Yeah.
They used to call you the Big Red Cat. What sort of nickname is the Big Red Cat?
I used to prowl around the court, you know, the way I moved. I was that
you
light
sure
on
that
my feet.
Wasn't in the pubs afterwards?
No.
They used to call you that.
No.
Is this to do with the tennis court?
Some
the Big
journalist
Red Cat.
Wrote it overseas.
Anyway, enough of that.
Where are you heading with this?
Mick Malloy challenged a 12-year-old state champion in Victoria, and I thought I might just have a look around the state and see what I can find out here in South Australia.
Why?
Because I think it might be a good idea for you to challenge the best that we've got in underage squash.
Righto.
And I found a young lad down at Narracourt.
Narracourt? You have gone
good.
Far and wide.
Oh, well, don't worry. The best kids come out of the country. I found Arian Madan, and he's the under-11 Australian championship. I couldn't get an under-12 for you. I've gone
Australian
lower.
Champion.
Under-11 Australian champion, number one in Australia, and he joins us this morning. Good morning, Arian. How are you, buddy?
Good, thanks.
Number one in Australia. That's a good title.
Yeah.
So where did you win this title? Where was the championship and who did you play?
Last year I played Benjamin Murray from Queensland.
Yeah.
I lost, but then he went up and then I took his position.
Right. Okay.
Good work. Do you reckon you could beat a 53-year-old overweight, sort of injury-prone red cat?
Probably.
You think you could?
Yeah.
Right. Do you reckon it'd even win a point off you?
Maybe.
What's your strength,
now, what's your forehand like?
Pretty good.
What's your backhand like?
Excellent.
It's going to have to be better than that. Now, what about your front of the court stuff like drop shots? What do you like at that?
Too good.
Pretty good. Righto. Now, listen, have you ever played a bloke
that just gets in the way all the time and blocks you out of it. Have you ever played someone like that?
Yeah.
Because you're going to need a bit of experience with that, I can tell you.
You go straight through his legs, Aaron.
Right, now, Aaron, you're going to have to travel to Adelaide for this. I'm not coming to Narracourt. Now, this we've just had a phone call through this Sunday. ARC, it's called, the Aquatic Recreation Centre at Campbelltown, which is a brilliant big complex. Unbelievable. It's got all the sports out there, okay, basketball and indoor soccer and everything. Yep. They got beautiful new squash courts. So this Sunday, Arian, at 11:30, the big clown. No, we're going
for
it.
He's
going
to come back down from the country for this.
All right,
can you get down, Arian?
Yep.
All right, so you're ready this Sunday?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, I'm going to start practicing. Righto. All right, Arian, I look forward to seeing you Sunday.
Yeah.
And get your running shoes
smash
on, mate.
Smash him, Arian.
Get your running shoes
work
on,
work him
pal.
Around the court, mate. Run him around the court. He's not very fit.
All right, see you Sunday, Arian.
See ya.
See ya, buddy.
God, what have I just signed up for you?
They'll need a mop to get all your sweat.
Because I'll mop him up, that's right. Correct.
My money is on Arian.
Have you ever heard wipe the floor with him? That's why we'll need a mop. That's why we need a mop.
My money is on Arian.
How old is he again?
11. Going on 12.
Oh,
gee. You're going to get spanked.
Oh, my God.
Ruined dits for breakfast. 104.7. Triple M.
Ruined it's here in the top end in Darwin. Roo, a big announcement for your football club, the Crows. Yesterday, I think it was.
Yeah, a couple of days ago, the Crows announced a 3-year deal with BHP for
the get any bigger
AFL
than that.
Women's team, which is absolutely fantastic for a couple of reasons. It's great that BHP are out sponsoring teams in the community, and it's great for the Adelaide Crows women's team to have such a big name on board as well. I think it's the first time BHP have sponsored an Adelaide footy side, so awesome news, and we thought we'd get the boss on to talk about it.
All right, Jackie McGill heads up Olympic Dam. She joins us this morning. Jackie, thanks for your time.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Morning, guys.
Why this all of a sudden this foray into AFL? What was it all about?
Well, it's such a good fit. You know, we're very proud South Australians, and we thought, what better way is there to celebrate our future and our future success than sponsoring such an iconic team with the AFL Women's League? And we couldn't be prouder. My team are really excited about what it means for the team and supporting the success of the Adelaide Crows Women's team.
It was an unbelievable year last year, Jackie. I think it took everyone by surprise just how fantastic it was. Certainly, I don't even think the head honchos at the Crows believe it was going to be as good as what it ended up. But in the mining game, how much has it changed for women in that profession?
Well, you know, in my company, BHP, we believe there's no job a woman can't do. And we're working very hard to make sure that women feel welcome into our teams. And I've seen a lot of change over the time I've been in the business, but we're not quite there yet. We are really aiming to look just like the community with an equal balance of men and women working in our workplace. Because we know that when you do that, we have safer and more productive teams and people enjoy their work so much more.
So this is a deliberate push into the sort of female sector, if you like. I mean, obviously you could have sponsored anybody, but you're going to this AFL women's team in particular.
Indeed. And look, for us, it's going to provide so many opportunities for our regional team members up at Roxby Downs and the far north. We're going to work on a plan to ensure that we have kids programs up in Roxby Downs and as a way to really engage the young people in sport at very young ages and ensure that, and work hard with the AFL Women's League and the AFL to show that this can be a professional team in the future.
Yep.
And we'll work very hard to support that.
You're the head of Roxby Downs or Olympic Dam at the moment, Jackie. How many jobs are up there at the moment or for BHP or in South Australia from you guys?
Well, we've got about 350 roles open at any time, and we're looking to fill that with a lot of great South Australians. So we've had a terrific response. We've been on Facebook seen a lot of women apply and encouraging more, both men and women, to put your hand up. You come and work with an exciting team who are really going places.
We'll get Aaron Phillips up there in the off-season driving a few trucks.
Well, could well do. Could well do.
Yeah. And I see the coach signed on as well, Beck Goddard, and she's a very impressive individual, isn't she?
Yeah, she's got a high job. So that's fantastic news. I mean, do you get along to any of the games, Jackie?
I do. I live near Theberton Oval, so I got around. Yeah, so it was terrific.
How good was that game? That was unbelievable. They were lined up out the gates just before the start. I couldn't believe it. It was
absolutely
chock-a-block that
game. Yeah, we weren't sure we were even going to get in, so it was such a great crowd, and what a terrific atmosphere. What I love seeing is the young boys and girls on the sidelines really enjoying the day, and seeing, you know, role models out there on the field kicking a ball and taking the marks, and really inspiring, I think, the next generation to be proud AFL supporters and players in the future.
Nah, well said. Well done. Jackie, well done on your involvement with the AFL Women's League and in particular the Adelaide Crows. Thanks for joining us.
Cheers. Thanks, guys.
There you go, Jackie McGill. And that is a big announcement, Roo. That is to have such a, well, they call them the big Australian, to have them involved here in Adelaide. That's great.
Well, it's a lot of confidence in the state as well. And as she said, up to 350 jobs on the go at any stage at Roxby Downs. So if you're in the market for a job, have a look at it.
Yeah, for sure.
Get Ruin Dits for breakfast, weekdays from 6, or subscribe to Ruin Dits for Breakfast Catch-Up at triplem.com.au.